Hello, Phil Spencer here. Welcome to Mortgage Insider from Barclays, the podcast series for mortgage brokers. I'm a sometime property expert and TV presenter, and every fortnight I'll use my experience to get to the heart of the biggest issues in the industry. I'll be joined by industry leaders, brokers, and indeed Barclays' own experts who'll share their insights and expertise to help you navigate the challenges, changes, and the opportunities in the world of property. In this episode, we're looking at when your financial circumstances improve. How can brokers help their clients when they have more money than expected? To talk more about this, I'm joined by Carly Cheeseman, who's a broker, and also by Robin Allen, who's a content creator, financial advisor, and partnership development manager at the Open Work Partnership. And just to point out, we recorded this episode on the 22nd of November. Hello to you both.
Hello.
Good Hi. To see you.
Thanks for having us.
This is a nice positive chat we can have, but let's outline the types of situations, if we can just kick off with where people's financial situations improve. Does it happen often? It sounds a wonderful thing to happen.
I think a lottery win is always on people's wish list, yes. Isn't it? So that doesn't always come up.
Well, many years ago, there was a spate of scratch card winners in my hometown.
Okay.
And I worked in a retail bank at the time. Yeah. And we had four or five people come in, winning sort of 250 and 500,000 on scratch cards. Very bizarre, but not very often. Mm. That was 15 years ago.
So apart from lottery wins...
Inheritance.
Absolutely. And I come from an insurance background. Yes. So you have the payouts from critical illness policies or even life insurance policies that can come into people's lives.
Mm. Yeah. I'd say inheritance is probably the biggest one and the most often. And that's when people want to come in and review things and have a proper chat, because that's the most likely scenario.
Yes.
Lottery wins and life insurance payouts are less often.
It would be a strange conversation to have, though, wouldn't it? Because there is a sense of loss and sadness, but equally there is a gain, a financial gain.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a good time to review things, you know, mortgages and finances overall, so the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to structure things in the right way to make it work in the long term for the client. I think people automatically think, oh, I have an inheritance, let's just pay the mortgage off in full.
Yeah.
But actually, you need to sit down and gain a full picture of the client before making any forward decisions. I think you probably agree.
No, absolutely. And I also think it's educating people in all the areas that can be an improvement. So sometimes they don't realise quite how their career might have progressed over a few years and how their income has significantly changed, or a child has gone back to school. So a parent has gone back to work and their income into the household may have doubled.
Yeah.
And that has a significant impact on what is going on in their overall financial picture.
Because inheritance, immediately, people think pay the mortgage off. But as you're saying, with children, career, future plans, it might be worthwhile putting money aside for university fees, private school fees. It's not necessarily all about clearing that mortgage debt straight away. Obviously, it depends on the mortgage interest rate that you're on as well.
Yes, particularly at the moment.
Yeah.
Do you sometimes get into conversations with people on financial planning and looking ahead where they say, actually, I'm not going to worry about it because I'm going to inherit?
Yes.
All the time. And it's quite a hilarious conversation, even though it's quite a dark conversation, because sometimes you'll have people come in and they want to discuss an interest-only mortgage, which is quite difficult to obtain on a residential basis these days. But they will say that their method of repayment is inheritance.
Okay.
And I say, okay, that's great, but your mortgage is ending on X date. Can you confirm that your mum will die by that date? Because that's how they're saying they're going to repay it.
It's a brutal, honest truth, though, isn't it? Because
they don't
have a crystal ball.
Yeah, they don't. And, you know, these things happen and it's terrible, but you can't use that as a method of repayment on a mortgage. But you wouldn't believe how many people think that that's okay to tell an underwriter that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I guess a lot depends on your relationship with your clients. And if you've got a long term and an open relationship, then you'll know more about their situations and how to advise them best.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I've been in the industry a long time, and a lot of my clients personally that I deal with, they've been with me from the beginning. And I think that's because I've built a good relationship with them. I understand them. I understand their future plans.
Yes.
We review things regularly, which is really important. As Robin was saying, career plans, children plans, people's lives change, and it's keeping in touch with all of that.
And I think that's the best, and that's what every advisor wants to be. Every firm that I work with within OpenWork, that's what they all aspire to be, because we're moving into this place now, especially following consumer duty changes and not doing any foreseeable harm, is we can't walk past anything now in financial services. So if you identify another conversation needs to be held that you may not be qualified to do, you need to go and signpost and say, right, I'm looking at your mortgage. You've come to me because you've had some money come in, but actually we need to widen this conversation up and make sure that we're considering all of your future goals. Are you in your dream home? Is everything set up for the kids? And your, hopefully, comfortable retirement.
Mm. I totally agree. And I'm not a huge fan of this word, but I think a holistic approach when you're speaking to your clients to gain a wider understanding of what their current situation is and what their future plans are. And that's the best way.
But they've got to be honest with you and people, you know, finances and life aspirations and ambitions. It can be quite private.
Absolutely. So you have to build trust with your client.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things with creating content online and putting a personality out there, especially when I was doing protection advice. It was...
That's extremely personal, protection advice. You have some intrusive questions.
Oh, I was very intrusive in a lovely way, everybody. but it was, right, I need to know everything. Your inside leg measurement, I was told things that their own family wasn't aware of, but it was really important to the conversation. But that would help me guide and signpost for the other areas they needed to consider and think about, because we need to look at big picture, not small window.
Yeah. So this is all becoming really in the sort of microscope because of consumer duty, isn't it?
I would say so. I think it's definitely put a spotlight on things and perhaps maybe forced people to readdress things that maybe have fallen by the wayside in the past. Mm. I think you'd probably say the same.
Yeah.
Is it something that you're mindful of every day, every conversation you have with a client?
Absolutely. And I think our firms would agree now it's starting to become something where we practice what we preach. But I think over the years in the industry, there's just been some bad habits.
Yeah.
People have become pigeonholed in specialties, and they sort of at times would have the blinkers on when it came to considering a client's full needs rather than just what they're there to do.
We were having a similar conversation just before we came on the podcast. I mean, I guess it is in relation to consumer duty, because it was about being transparent with people and being clear and concise with how you communicate with them. Yeah. I think this industry has a slightly tarnished reputation because you get lots of people, slightly older generation, that will maybe talk in jargon and try and tie the client up in knots to get them to sign up for things. So consumer duty is brilliant. And I think it's really made people readdress the way they speak to their clients and be clear and concise and speak in a language they understand.
Yeah. I know that you've both worked on your own independently and now both work for quite large organisations. Just talk to me, if you would, about consumer duty and the challenges of adhering to that for somebody who's working on their own.
I think, obviously, OpenWork, we are a financial services network. So we, as an organisation, have done most of the legwork for our firm. So we've been able to give them checklists and processes to follow to make that transition easier. For some firms, there's not a great deal to do because they were doing it in the way that it needed to be done anyway. And for some, there's more work. But ultimately, consumer duty for those that were already doing it isn't a massive change. But what it is it's a reflection. It's people taking accountability.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'm sure you've probably started to see the same in your world.
Yeah. I think when you're by yourself, it's about having the right support network. So a company like your company, Robin, to support you if you are a self-employed advisor, just to make sure you're keeping on top of things and you're, you know, complying with the regulation. Yeah. It's just about being clear and concise and asking your client if they understand. And I think you do that a lot when you're self-employed as well.
It was a reason I went to a network. I always used to say I just wanted a buffer between myself and the Financial Conduct Authority to make sure I was absolutely doing the right thing, because my clients were the most important part of my world. And that's what I preach to everybody else.
Great. Good to hear. So if somebody has come into some money and they've come to you and say, right, I want to pay down the mortgage, is it always the best thing to do?
It would depend on the individual client.
Go on then. So let's just kick that idea around a little bit.
Yeah.
When is it right? When isn't it right?
I mean, it would always be fantastic to clear the mortgage in full. That would be great. For example, if you had a client with a 500,000 mortgage and they've had a £1 million inheritance, the likelihood is, I'm going to say, clear the mortgage in full. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But if they've got a a 500,000 mortgage and 500,000 inheritance, I would want to sit down and address where they were in life. Mm-hmm. So sort of what we were talking about earlier on, you know, if they've got children that are perhaps due to go to university, maybe should we set aside some money for fees and make a partial overpayment on the mortgage? Also in relation to the mortgage itself, you would want to see if they were fixed into a deal.
Yeah.
Because if there's any early repayment charges attached, mm-hmm. you know, what's the point in paying a 10 grand ERC yeah. if the rate's due to finish in 6 months' time yeah. or 12 months' time? So it's working out sort of that specific mortgage product they have, and then perhaps maybe their short to medium term plans.
Mm. And even their long term plans.
Yeah.
I mean, you must end up talking yeah. about retirement and
yeah, definitely.
Budgeting for that is a challenge in itself.
And it is that. If you've got to know your client very well, you'll know whether they're in their end goal dream home or not. So
yeah.
if,
yes,
they're still
will,
when,
yeah.
if they're still in their three bed semi, they were in when they got married and they've always spoken to you about the fact they want to upgrade, you might say, right, let's consider financially what's going to be the best thing. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be paying off the current mortgage, or is it going to be, right, put this cash to one side, go and find that dream property.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe port your mortgage, maybe add some money yeah. in, maybe go and get a fixer-upper and add value, investment. But it's also basics like, what's your emergency fund looking like?
Yeah.
What's the right answer to that question?
I would say yes, pay the mortgage off would be the absolute right thing to do, because you're going to reduce your outgoings and yeah. have lots more disposable income.
Yeah.
But just check the rate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Check the rate and the products, because it's, you know, you don't want to pay unnecessary fees.
And make sure you've ticked a few of the boxes and done that sanity check of, right, have we got an emergency fund? Because it's all
yes.
well and good reducing your outgoings, but if you've not got your emergency pot set up mm. and something goes wrong the following month, great, you're not yeah. paying £1,000 a month out, but you now haven't got the 10 grand you need to pay to replace the car.
Yeah.
So much of this, from what I'm picking up from you both, I suppose it's right and as I expected, but it's about communication, about relationships.
Yes.
And developing those relationships and understanding one another.
Yeah.
Being honest. If you have that good ongoing relationship with a client over a long period of time,
yep.
that's when you'll be able to give the best advice.
Yeah, and absolutely. That's how I was self-employed for so many years. All of my business came by way of recommendation or referral.
Okay.
I do business for entire families, mm. aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, mm. and I think that's a solid way to have longevity in the business as well.
But you've still got to go out and win new clients.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely. But I think some of it is also coming from, I think, brokers now need to consider their approach, because we've had a lot of five-year fixeds happening, and 5 years is a long time to potentially not talk to your client, because some sure. brokers go from yeah. I've set your mortgage up to I'll see you when the rate comes up. That's a long time to not talk to somebody, and that's yeah. a long time for them to be swayed somewhere else. I think we as an industry need to get better, as we need to under Consumer Duty, that regular contact, mm. making sure those reviews are happening. The mortgage may not be up, but we still need to keep on top
That's
of everything
That's something I'm
else.
Really passionate about, staying in contact with your client and keeping them up to date with things that are going on in the industry. We do regular mail shots to our clients, depending on where they're located geographically and, you know, what may be relevant to them. But
about what's happening in the market generally, or the financial market, housing market or financial market?
Bit
or?
Of everything.
Right.
Bit of everything's in there. Usually quarterly we'll send something out. People can unsubscribe if they wish, but it's very few. Mm. And it's just staying in contact, but not staying in contact too much so that you're irritating. Just staying in contact enough so that they know that you're there and they're reminded yeah. of
yes.
you. And, you know, they can come back, because there might be something within that, you know, financial snapshot we send them that's not mortgage related,
yeah.
you know, wills, pensions, investments, and they might pick up the phone to you and say, actually, can we have a chat before the fixed rates are?
And that happened with one of my firms. They contacted a client just to check in, and mm-hmm. they found out they'd had a lottery win.
Oh,
so when I was joking earlier, it does happen.
That's brilliant.
But they wanted to sort a few things first, and then they were going to sit down with them. But again,
yeah.
if they'd have waited until...
Yeah.
a particular yeah. time, that might have been sorted by somebody else rather than somebody that
yeah,
already
true.
Knows their situation.
Okay.
So you just don't know.
Yeah.
Any other kind of examples of clients that you've helped that other brokers might be intrigued by?
I did have, a few years ago, I had set up some insurance for a client. It was following a relationship breakdown. And I set up a policy in the February, and I got a message in the July saying, I've had cancer. Do I need to tell anybody? Me, absolutely. You need to tell me. And we did the claim and they had the money straight in their bank account within a month to go up and pay their mortgage. And I got the text message saying, do I have to pay my mortgage off? And I went, oh, hello. As long as we're not going to Vegas. but it was that situation. They were in their 30s and they chose to use the funds with their current property equity to upgrade the property they were living in.
Yeah.
So they did have that situation and went, I'm not in my forever home. Let me use this money because I was on the road to recovery at that time and was ready to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. Makes perfect sense.
What would your advice be to somebody who, say, worked in sales or in the city and got a bonus or an annual dividend or something like that? So they'd got money in the account.
Yes.
That they weren't needing day to day. What would your advice be there?
That would be certainly a conversation to have around an offset product.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of 10 to 15 years ago, the flexible offset products were very popular in the industry. They're few and far between now. It's definitely a conversation worth having for limited company directors, certainly, because they take large dividends. And as you mentioned, clients that receive large bonus income. Offsets are great because you can pay the money into the mortgage, reduces the interest you're paying, but you can also take it back out as and when you need it. And there's actually a lender we work with, and it's almost called a current account that's attached to the mortgage. Yeah. So you can sort of just send off a request and within 48 hours the money's come back out. So, I mean, there's lots of scenarios where I've helped clients with this in the past that aren't even limited company directors or sort of large bonus income clients. I've had people in the past that will take a flexible offset product and take almost like a large overdraft facility.
Yeah.
So just to give you an example, you could have someone that could come in and the affordability would allow them to borrow 800,000. They only need 400,000. I would always set the limit at the higher limit of the 800,000 because that client then has an additional 400,000 to play with whenever they want. And, you know, they may not want
it
now.
Yeah,
they may not use it at all. And you're not being charged for that when you're not using it. But maybe in 5 years' time, they might think, well, actually, I want to buy an investment property.
Yeah.
They could take that money out, purchase it outright. The flexible offset is a really underrated product that I wish they would bring back a little more in the industry because there are only a couple of providers offering it.
Why would you say it's dwindled?
I would struggle to answer that. I think simple terms, fixed rates are attractive to lenders and they can tie the client in and keep them there for a long time because traditionally with a flexible offset, there's no early repayment charges. So they can leave whenever they like.
Mm. Anything else that you think brokers should take away from this conversation? It seems to me it's about relationships and ongoing trust.
I believe that, yeah. I think something for brokers to take away is to don't underestimate the mortgage industry. I think traditionally in financial services, everyone believes that an independent financial advisor should stay in contact with their clients all the time because they complete annual reviews. And mortgage advisors or brokers will complete, you know, a 2-year or 5-year review and that's it. That's all they do. But don't underestimate the broker. I think constant communication with your client, you know, keep in touch, build their trust. They'll come back, they'll refer people, they'll recommend people. Mm. Just keep an open line of communication with them.
Yeah. And an open mind as well.
Yeah.
And don't assume that they say nothing's changed. And I'm a big advocate of this recently, which is we talk about life events in the industry. So you have kids, you get married, you get divorced. But we need to consider those things like I mentioned earlier. So when a child goes back to school that you may have been paying childcare for, suddenly you've got a massive extra piece of money that you can use every month. And that probably needs a conversation to make sure that's being used in the most appropriate way. Or cost of living, I've had to mention it at some point. You may have had a household that when you saw them 2 or 3 years ago, they could cope on either income.
Yeah.
Whereas now they need both because of how things have risen. Or their salary's risen and it's become even more
so. So regular reviews at all life events, not just children, married, divorced, all of those things. Regular reviews it's because of change in lifestyle.
Yeah. Full lifestyle changes, exactly.
Definitely.
That was Carly Cheeseman and Robin Allen of the Open Work Partnership. The views expressed by external guests in this podcast are their opinions only and do not necessarily reflect the views of Barclays. Thanks for listening to Mortgage Insider. I'm Phil Spencer, and this has been a Fresh Air production for Barclays. Please rate, review, and follow the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.